Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, happy Valentine's, everybody.
Valentine's to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're the best Valentine ever. Thank you so much. You bless us, Lord, more than we can ask or think, and you're with us always, and you'll never leave us or forsake us, and we're so thankful for that. Thank you for your sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to start off with teaching this morning. We're still learning to flow in the supernatural. The title of this is Love Not the World. 2:14:21. This is a historic Valentine's. Never have we ever had a Valentine's like this. As far as I know, I don't remember ever having temperatures in the negative. Don't really want to ever again. Thank you, Lord. And speaking to the prince of the power of the air, said there's some new kids on the block. We're not going to put up with your stuff anymore. Let me just start out with saying something as I was getting ready. And I have it, I think, in the prophet's corner a little bit. But the Lord said to me, you know, about all the businesses that are seemingly boycotting Mike Lindell, MyPillow, and all the businesses that have come out in support of the BLM and all of this kind of stuff. The Lord said to me, make it your Jericho moment. Well, what does that mean? They surrounded the city. They took possession of the city before they spoke the word of faith. Whenever Joshua blew the trumpets, and Joshua said, when I say shout, shout. But they surrounded the city for a whole week, one time a day for 6 days, and seven times the seventh day. And then when they shouted, the walls fell. The Lord said, this is what boycotting is. Not taking back your territory. It's really boxing you in a corner, because I heard someone say this a few days ago. If we boycott everybody, we're not going to have anywhere to go. But see, this is the point. They're trying to squeeze us out. So we're not supposed to let them squeeze us out. We're supposed to squeeze them out. Yeah. We're supposed to put the squeeze on them. Say, no, you shouldn't have ought have done that, because you just lost your job. When you go in these places, you look and you walk around and you claim your territory, just like Jericho. I claim new owners. Those that honor God will own this store. Those that work in the store will honor God. Those who do not honor God will be lightly esteemed. They will lose their positions. They will lose their places. That's what we need to do. I said, that's good, Lord. That really is. But that is what we are supposed to be doing. This is why we're in this sorry shape, because we have not occupied, not us, but there was a time we all were in complacency to some degree. So we're not pointing fingers at people. It's just we have to educate people. Well, don't whine about it. Don't gripe about it. Don't spread it all over social media. Take your land. Take your land. Isn't this what flowing in the Spirit is? Isn't that what flowing in the supernatural is? Taking your land, taking ground. Jesus said, go take the gospel into all the nations. Did he think for a minute they wouldn't have opposition? We are to dominate all seven mountains of culture. Whether that's popular or not, I don't care. It's word of God. Started in the garden. The earth is given to man. That's why I keep reiterating. It's like we've turned into we can't wait till we get out of here. They squeezed us back in a corner. We have nowhere to go, and now God has to come rescue us. That's not what God wants. He will. He has. But he'd like it so much better if we'd get up and take it back. Take it back. Okay. Kind of changing the subject a little bit now. Love not the world. This is how the Holy Spirit started it off. It said, do you ever feel guilty after the fact? Because you didn't do this or that? Why do you suppose that is? Maybe you didn't do it because the Holy Spirit didn't quicken you to do it. The Lord said to me, you trust so much in that when I missed it, I shouldn't have said that, I shouldn't have done that, instead of saying, well, the Lord didn't quicken me to, and being secure in who you are and how He thinks about you. Maybe you didn't do it because the Holy Spirit didn't quicken you to do it. I tell you what, when you're questioned about things, why you didn't do this, why you didn't do that, that'll shut my mouth right there. Well, the Lord didn't tell me to. And I don't do what the Lord don't tell me to do. I follow Him. I don't just do stuff. I don't just... I was telling Danny, I was listening to the up front in the prophetic, and this woman, Sheila Holm, that's written all these books, she just really delighted me. It was very refreshing because she knows the church has been infiltrated. And she said, I don't have a Sheila plan anymore. She said, if I have a speaking engagement somewhere, she flies all over. And he tells me not to fly, I don't fly. If he tells me not to leave the house that day, I do not leave the house that day. She said, this is the whole difference between the real church and those that voice that they are but don't act like they are. She said, it's a matter of surrender. Surrendering your will to God's will. Saying, okay, Father. She's got a car that she said is 22 years old. She's never had any problems with it. She's never had a flat tire. The Lord sent her the car, and people say, why don't you get you a new car? Well, the Lord hadn't sent me a car yet. He hadn't showed me the next car yet. There's a prime example of that. We think we got to have it now. Do it now, and if you don't do it, I'm mad at you. They treat God the same way. They'll hang on as long as it fits within their time frame, which we see that going on right now with the date setting. You know, thinking, well, if you don't do it, I'm out of here. I'm not listening to Q anymore. I'm not going to listen to anything the president says because it doesn't happen. And they were talking about the thousands of people they get emailing them. Would you go search this and look this up for me? Give me some information, some facts. And they say, do you realize how many thousands and thousands of people we deal with every day that have urgent needs, and we're doing our best to take care of, especially the priority ones? There was someone that had someone that was in a dire strait, was dying of kidney failure. They stopped what they were doing and they agreed in prayer, and that man walked out of the hospital. She said, it's no more these divides in the body of Christ. We are the family of God. The Lord never meant it to be all the denominations, all the sects, and all the breaking up. That's what the devil's done. This was never God's will. How do we do God's will? Whatever He tells us to do. And if He doesn't tell you, you better not do it. I'm not saying, you know, you can't go buy groceries, but, you know, in this day and time, sometimes you might be quickened. Well, don't go today. You know what I'm saying? It's learning in those little things, learning to flow in the Spirit. That's how we do it. It's not a phone call from God. Remember that way back? A lot of people, they wouldn't obey God unless they got a phone call from God. I mean literally. No, it's these little impressions because He is our shepherd and He is leading us. And it is natural. It is normal. So we need to quit second-guessing ourselves and saying, oh, I missed it. Well, I missed God. Maybe you didn't. See, we're so used to leaning to that left because we've been conditioned that way, that we're losers and it's your fault. That's what the left does. They blame the Christians and the ones that do right. It's where you call evil good and good evil. They blame you. It's your fault. You're racist. No, it's an agenda they push to convince us we are. And it's not true. Most people love other people. Just watch little kids. Remember seeing that little video, those two little kids, one was black, one was white, and they were about, looked like they were about 2 years old, and they were running towards each other, and they just grabbed each other and hugged each other. There wasn't any racism. That's learned behavior. Or the Baptists, we don't mess with them. Or the Presbyterians, we don't mess with them. See how it works? See how the devil divides? And when they divide you, then they conquer you. And that's what's happened in our nation. That's what's happened in the church, to where now we're defenseless, or we seem to be, for the most part. No, but you get two united, look what you can do. The world is constantly conforming you to its pressure. That's what the idiot box is for. Trying to get you to go to their narrative. It wants to mold you into its, narrative. It wants to mold you into its plan. It's all shame, blame, guilt, fear, insecurity, caring for ourselves. That's the other master. All right, Romans 12, 1 and 2. You know what? I think is, when you bring somebody to the Lord, this ought to be the scripture that you give them. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Said, you get in that word and you read that word and let the word, let God show you his will for you. What his word says for you and about you. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So it takes the word to wash out, I don't know even how to describe it, from conformity to transforming into Jesus' image. It says we're going from glory to glory, being transformed into his image. Conformed by knowing God and his ways, the ways of the kingdom. If we're going to conform to something, let's conform to the kingdom and his ways. Is it that we don't interact with the world? We know that's not possible, for that would be impossible. We can't not interact with the world. We live here. That means we are led into the world, but not conformed to its anti-God ways. That's why, whatever form, whatever avenue it is, we ask God what we do. Conform versus transform. Conform means to fashion alike or conform to the same pattern. Transform means to metamorphose is the name. It's metamorphosis, like the caterpillar into the butterfly. Okay, we're going to read a few scriptures here. 1 John 2. It's God's word that does this transforming. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. So you can tell who are of his and who are not. The ones that hate, they know not the Father. Christians love. That's why we don't go in and we don't just, boycott and all those things. We just go in and take dominion. And you can do that without ever stepping a foot on that property. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which things which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. This is what the people of the world are going to have to learn in this new kingdom we're going into. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. Even people that are secular and they really don't know much about spiritual things are talking about this love. About keep your frequency up, because hate and negativity causes Satan's frequency to get intense and more powerful and more oppressive. But love also causes us to ascend above that. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Think about that. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Now just think about Satan's narrative. Think about the BLM and Antifa. What do they push? Hate. Hate speech. Hate mongering. Brother against brother. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son and the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. So, we see a drastic change. Love and hate. You know, I was listening to someone, I don't remember who it was, about everything that's going on in D.C. is really about the underground dumbs and rescuing the children. It's not really been a military thing as far as them doing arrest. But it's been just strictly because of the children. And they were talking about that, you know, Australia was the worst place they had found yet. But then when they went into D.C., they found out it's even worse than Australia. It's so heinous. It's so awful. And they are blowing things up. Candace Owens, she lives in D.C., she said she heard a huge explosion. They're blowing it up. It's so bad. It's so bad. And you know why? The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what all this is about. All about the money. All about whatever these evil people want or desire. They look at us like you're just a peasant. How's the world going to know we're his disciples? By the love we have one to another. You can't break that bond. You can't. In fact, it really amazes me that they, after everything they've done, they can't stop us. They're shaking in their boots. The love of God. This is the dark to light that we are experiencing right now. We're coming out. I'm telling you, the dark ages, I know, was a bad time in history, and a lot of people were murdered and treated terribly. Well, we have been in the dark ages ourselves for quite a while. Okay, a few more scriptures. John 15. But we cannot cower and crouch in our homes. That's what they want us to do. But We can do it for the president. We can do it while they're doing operations. Like the Lord said to me, this is what they're going to use it for, a cover to go in and take out the dumbs and to restructure the Fed. We know that. But we cannot allow ourselves to be pushed back in a corner with nowhere to go. We have to begin to rise up and take our land back. It's ours for the taking. He's given it to us. We have it by right, by inheritance. This is our land, and they have stolen it all. All seven hills. All right, even the church. But that's changing. All right, this is John 15:18. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. We can see that plainly. It's like if you burn cities, kill people and stuff, well, you get off scot-free. But if you dare revile back or even say one word, they want to throw you in jail because of it. All right, John 17, verse 6. I manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Father, I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them, and now I am no more in the world. And now, okay, no more of the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. That's part of the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil, that we pray. You know, we say that every day. Lord, deliver us from evil. Yeah, that's what we have to do. Keep saying, Lord, deliver us from evil. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. So, we're here in this world not to escape, but to take our land back. Take everything that the devil's done. Let the Lord lead you. The Lord's been leading me in some different areas. When I start reading, every day it's usually something's added, something's a little bit different from the norm when you're speaking stuff. It's working. If we just, the more we can awaken to this. See, we got a lot of church folk coming out of those churches, and they don't know nothing. And there's a lot of them that they're so stuck in their ways. They may know a little bit, but they're, you know, they just need a little help to get over that hump. Learn how to take the land. Nobody's exempt. Okay, 1 Corinthians 5. Thinking, Lord, was 1,000 years enough to get to get these minds renewed? They'll see it. 1 Corinthians 5:9. I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. I mean, you can't really avoid, you know, running into them, being around them, and having work around them, and all that kind of stuff. But now I've written unto you not to keep company That's who you hang with. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or extortioner, with such a one know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judges. Therefore put away from you among you that wicked person. It doesn't keep us from going out into the world and trying to help those. Now, it doesn't say run with them, you know. So you see that it doesn't mean that we can't operate in the world system or people of the world, but we are not to be conformed to their ways. This is why we consult the Lord about what we do and where we go and even what we say. Like I said last week, Jesus went to the pool, the one man, went to the well, one woman. When there was thousands of infirm there, he's not sent you to everyone. It's yet to be seen who all we've been sent to, you know. All right. It seems more natural for us to lean to the world's thinking. My point here being about feeling bad about yourself. Ashamed of yourself. Always saying I missed it, and on it goes. In other words, without the confidence that comes from being part of the kingdom, do you believe God leads you? Do we believe God leads us? Yeah. Then trust Him. Don't second guess yourself, but be led. It is natural for you to be led. See, we've lived in the unnatural. The supernatural is the natural for God's children. Psalms 23. That is, you couldn't really get any simpler than that. When He's in the lead, you can't miss it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The two things that stick out to me are verse 2 and 3. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. We need to be as confident as we have been in the world. We need to be more confident in the Father, that He's leading us. He is leading us. God wants to lead and provide. That's what He wants out of you. He wants you to follow. He's not asking you to toil and spin. He clothes the lilies. They don't toil or spin. And Solomon wasn't even arrayed nearly as fine as a lily. Have you ever seen them? They're so beautiful and perfect. Yeah. There's no toiling and spinning with it. It's just listening. A lot of people get in a hurry or they get pressured. Here comes that conformity to the world. Pressure, pressure, pressure. Make a decision. No, do this, do that. That outside influence. But got to get quiet. Listen in here. The still small voice. It's like, just like he, was it Elijah? God said, I'm not in the earthquake. I'm not in the whirlwind. I'm in the still small voice. I know there's been times I'd seek the Lord about something. One time it was 2 years. And one day, there it was, the answer. I'm thinking, why did it take 2 years? I guess the Lord was just going to see whether I would wait on Him. Or if I would just step out, well, I'm not hearing nothing, I'll just do what I think's best. How many messes are we getting out of now that we did because we thought did what we thought was best? I know, I've had a lot of them. We've all had lots of things. But then when you say, Father, I'm sorry, then there is no shame. You just keep on moving, and then the next opportunity comes up, you're going to get to try it out again. Practice makes perfect in that area. All right. I want to read a few scriptures here. Psalms 139:16. I just want you to get a picture today of how special you are to Father. He yearns for you to follow Him. It grieves Him when you don't. This is, okay. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. I read Joseph Prince, his book, As a Devotion, his first one, Destined to Reign. And I just read about the part where, what was so special about David to God? And this is what David said. God liked me. How many of you think your fathers even liked you? Think about it. To have the confidence that you know your father loves you, that he likes you. Instead of, oh, I missed it. Well, I'm suffering this because I missed it. No, you're not. All right, Isaiah 44. Compressor. Yeah. All right, Isaiah 44:2. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. Verse 24, same chapter. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by itself. Think about when you were born again. It wasn't just a random thing. It was a planned thing. It was a God-planned moment in your life. Isaiah 46:10. I'll read 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all of my pleasure. So he knows the end from the beginning. He's the only one that knows it all. Wouldn't it just be, you know, so many people run to the experts of the world. They're all over. They're a dime a dozen. But who better to run to than someone that does know the true end from the beginning? All men are limited, period. But God isn't. He's infinite. He knows it all. Told you about Ezekiel's wheel. There's eyes all in that wheel. He can look every direction. He sees backwards, forwards, any way, go, past, future. Okay, Isaiah 49:1. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. There's not anything, our conception, our birth, our new birth, any little intricate thing that has to do with you, he is watchfully. That's what really, when I was doing the flat earth study, that's what got me, is the Lord spoke to me about, I'm overlooking the earth, I'm overlooking you, like a mother looks down on her pregnant belly. The baby's encased in the water. And then I found that scripture in the Word later. I don't care what they say, and I'm hearing lots of weird out there, even people that say they're Christians. And they say God said. And I'm thinking, all we've got to go on is this. Whether it's partial, parts missing, if it don't line up with this, I'm not going to listen to you. I don't care. I know what God has shown me just in the Word. You're full of it. Better be checking which God you're listening to, because, you know, their concept is so way out there. It's just going, I'm going, oh, brother. God made it really pretty simple, didn't he? It takes men to screw it up and mess it up and confuse it. Okay, it's men that messed up trying to take our word from us. It's they're the ones that did it, not God. Okay, Genesis 1, but I do believe he preserved enough for us to get by. All right, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So you hear the saying a lot where people say, well, you know, he's just like his dad. Or they're just like their mother. They have the same traits, their same little tendencies. They all say, you can just tell their family because they kind of act the same, do the same thing. Well, how much more natural should it be that we act like Father? We're made in his image and likeness. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it. That's dominion. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, I thought it was the game wardens that presided over that. Well, it's because, yeah, the beast system took over and took our rights away. That's what all of this is about. They're trying to take, not under the Constitution, under God's law, our rights. We own the earth. Or it's in lease. We've been given the proprietorship over this earth for 6,000 years. And we still have it. It's just people don't know it. And they don't know, how do I get it back? All right, Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So God has intimately had his hands all over you from the moment you were even a thought. You came from God's mind, his thinking. I know that when little Harley passed, the Lord said, I breathed him back into me. And that's what happens. He's life. He breathes the spirit of life into creation. And whenever that person, that body ceases to exist or whatever, dies, they go back to God. You know, to be with the Lord, house of scripture, to be present with, to be at home with the Lord, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There it is. Yeah, that scripture. All right. No one's ever lost. And I thought, that makes me smile when I think about that. He's with God. I miss that little toot. Genesis 2:7. Oh, 2, I just read that, 2:7. Jeremiah 1:5. I want y'all to know today how special you are to God. I just want you to know that. You are. And he's not looking at you to make a wrong move or to fail. He's there to help you win. Make the right decisions. All right, Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Like I said, before you were ever conceived, he knew you, it says. He breathed you out. You come out of God. All right, 29:11, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So God thinks no evil towards you. He has no thoughts of evil towards you, only peace. People have gotten God mixed up with the devil. There's a lot of Pentecostal type, well, not just Pentecostal, really, people that come out of those kind of real strict. It's like, it's always a punishment. It's always, they always feel condemned, like they're being punished, and what did I do wrong? Type of mentality. And they think it's God. And it isn't. That's not our Father. How much more shall your Heavenly Father, if you being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? Our Heavenly Father gets accused of things that as natural parents, if we did, we'd be thrown in jail. And He's the ultimate Father. Yeah. All right, Romans 8:29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. All right, Ephesians 1:4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. He already knows who's going to embrace Him and who isn't. But He's still long-suffering. He's still hoping against hope that maybe some would turn, but He knows. That's why He's long-suffering. All right, Ephesians 2:10. For we are, I read this, for I am His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that I should walk in them. I encourage you to read the Ephesians prayers every day. I have them marked in my Bible. I read them. Because it says who you are. Who you really are. Not a failure. Not a mess up. Not a screw up. And we get in trouble whenever we start looking at our lives and thinking, well, I've delayed here and I've delayed there. Well, have you? Really? I mean, think about Moses at 80. I'm thinking, Lord, I hope that's not my future. But think about it. We get to feeling bad about ourselves, thinking, well, if I hadn't missed it here, if I hadn't missed it there, if I hadn't done that, if I hadn't done that. You need to not think that way anymore. He puts his hand to the plow and looks back. What? It's not fit for the kingdom. We have to go forward and say, well, yeah, we've all missed it. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So let's get past that, forgiven, and let's move forward. That's all He's asking us to do. He's not even holding anything against you. You're holding it against yourself, maybe, but He's not doing it. He's not doing it. Okay, Luke 15. This is what Father thinks about you. Familiar story. I tell you what, Amber picking up that car, Dana came with her. It made me smile because my daughters were doing something together and they had a good time. And on the way home, they were, you know, people would come over close to them and they'd talk smack to this other car. You're a whatever, but we're a Beamer, you know, we're better than you. I'm thinking. But anyway, it's just Father's love. Father's love. By the way, she was so blessed by that, which your gift to her. That's the thing. Now, I know she had some pressure from some people saying, we all just sell it and pay off your debts. No. Sometimes it's the hardest thing in the world for people to receive a gift from Father. and just enjoy it. I said, you enjoy that car? And I said, if the Lord tells you to do something, then do it. But I said, don't let anybody else tell you you can't enjoy that or you don't deserve it. It's never based on what you deserve, never. We don't, any of us deserve any of it. It'll help you walk. It's just a love relationship with Father. And it's not like your earthly father. It's one of those where it's like a spoiled king's kid that has everything. That's the way God wants us to view him. All right, let me read the story here. Verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fell off to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now the church, you know, they'd say, okay, you need to prove yourself. Come back in here acting like that. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. And even parents might, natural parents might do that. But that's not what God did. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed swine. See, the most outstanding thing in the kingdom of God is its goodness that leads men to repentance. Not hellfire and brimstone. You're going to go to hell, you dirty, wicked sinner, if you don't turn from your ways. I see that stuff sometimes on social media and it turns me off because I'm thinking, we've got to have something better than what they're in. How would they want it? Who wants hellfire and brimstone? I don't. Somebody comes at me that way, I'm not going to listen to anything you say. I'm sorry. But somebody that comes and goodness comes, love comes. I mean, yeah. I think it was Charles Capp that's talking about a hog come to a hog trough. If you hit him in the head enough times, he won't come. I mean, that's what religion does. Pings you on the head with a hammer. Kicks you down. In defeat all the time. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. This is what leads them back. When they're out there and they're straying, and it gets hard, they remember, you know, I didn't go through this at Father's house. And I will rise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Here's that, oh, sure. And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Have you ever heard that kind of talking from people? I'm just the one that scrubs the floors in the house of the Lord. You know, like I'm just some old maid. Well, even if that is what you do, you know, that mentality. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. See, he's wanting to go through all the blame and the shame. You ever come before the father and all you do is repenting? I'm sure he looks at Jesus and said, but Father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this son, my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. He treated him like he didn't see sin. He didn't see sin. He thought, my son's home. Let's put on the hog, you know what I'm saying? My son's home. That's what he saw. My son has returned. And his elder son was in the field. And he came and drew nigh to the house. He heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. He said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in, because he therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee. See, this is religion. Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. He had the kingdom just like his brother. But as soon as this thy son, don't even call him brother, which hath devoured thy living. Here's that shame and blame, and I'm better than you, I'm righteous and holy. Thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me. All that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Jealousy. That's why the Pharisees treated Jesus the way they did. Jealousy. They were all about the fame and the money, the prestige, you know, all that. Okay, let's keep going here. This is Father's attitude toward you. Why would a Christian go to the systems of the world first above Father God? Because they've been lied to about who Father is. They don't love us. They actually hate us, and they hate the Scriptures. See, like these people. He knows us in and out, and he can perfectly instruct us on what we need to do. He knows the end from the beginning. It should be the preferred way for a Christian. It's just one thing about this 6.5-year journey for me, I had to unlearn many things. It would astound me what the Lord would show me, what he was saying about what the Word was saying and what I had heard others teach. And I'm going, wow, doesn't even say that, does it? And I'm not pointing any fingers today. I'm just saying I'm so thankful to have been able to be pulled out of that, to get my mind renewed to what God, what he said to me about it. That's why when I hear these people talking about all this alien mess and all these planets and all this junk, after 18 months of studying it, really longer than that, I saw over 200 scriptures in the Word of God that verified what I know to be true. And it doesn't matter what they say. They are not going to convince me unless there's other Bible books that add more to the story that we don't know about. Okay, sadly, when I'm out and about, I see just the opposite. Christians that do know their God, that they just don't know they don't know God and they don't know God's ways. That's why you have so many needy people. I think from the charismatic movement on, people became dependent on prayer chains and those kind of things, that when they needed an answer from God, they call prayer chains and get an answer instead of going before the Father and getting their own answers. Before the charismatic, when the Pentecostal movement, you know, but when it was the old tiny Pentecostals, they'd do what they called pray through. They'd hit that altar and they wouldn't get up till they had an answer. See the difference? Yeah. All right. God made us, and there's nothing about that hidden from him that concerns you. Nothing. He's very well aware of the situation, and he's overseeing the situation wherever you are. Ever wonder why when you go to the world there's fear and angst? If God leads you there, the peace comes and the grace comes. It's a good way to gauge it. All right, that's essential to flowing in the supernatural. God first. Has to be God first. Kind of like America first in this nation. God first. For America to be first, God's got to be first. And I'm thankful for the president that we have that recognizes that. All right, concerning finances, the Lord knows what you should do. Ask Him. Ask Him His plan for you to prosper. Don't just do whatever you think is best. How has that worked out for you so far? We've all made messes in that area. But we really started to get ahead was whenever we started, the Lord started speaking to us about doing certain things. That's when we started seeing a breakthrough, finally, after a long time. Okay. God protects us as our shepherd from the thief. The world systems are not made for you to get ahead, just like what we saw with the stock market, with the GameStop and the run on silver. What it brought to light was it is a rigged system and it's not meant for you to get ahead. It's meant to take money from your pocket. Yeah. So we cannot trust that unless the Lord says, well, you go invest in this or that. See, this is how you use the world, but you are not of the world. Okay. If we look to God, we will come out of shame, blame, guilt, uncertainty, and fear, and into peace, love, and joy, and security. And that's what He wants. He's the shepherd. He's in the lead. And He's not going to lead you astray. And He's not going to let you go without. Matthew 6, I don't know how many times I've read that scripture over the last 7 years, hundreds of times. It talks about the two masters. One is full of fear. Oh, what are we going to do? Eat, drink, wear? The other one says, well, consider the birds. Consider the lilies. There's not a sparrow that falls to the ground that God doesn't know. I clothe the lilies. Do you see it? That's His way. And He doesn't have any shortages. He doesn't have any shortages. No shortages. That's why when we are in a situation and we have need, we go to the Father and He says, well, this is the way I want you to handle it. And if you'll handle it, it'll work out. That's the way you do it. Satan is God of this world system, tries to sabotage you in your thinking processes and get you to go down the wrong path so he can beat you over the head with it for as long as he can. You know, when you go somewhere and you're in a conversation, you come home feeling guilty, I shouldn't have said that. I've learned to say, well, maybe I needed to say that. Shut that devil up. It's always after the fact. Well, God lets you know beforehand. He'll check you. Or you'll just be restrained from saying something. The devil makes you feel bad and beat you up after the fact where you can't do anything about it. Okay. Satan reminds us after the fact when you can't do anything about it, God leads you, so no regrets. Don't regret what you say. Don't quit abusing yourself. We need to be confident in who God has made us. That doesn't mean it gives you the right to go and be ugly. Don't get me wrong here. I'm talking about when you follow the Father, your heart is to, Lord, I just want to say what you want me to say. I want to do what you want me to do. So be confident in that He is leading you. And when you say something, don't let the devil come back later and beat you up because of it. Okay, enough said. Because that right there becomes double-mindedness. Yeah. We ask Him to lead us, and then we go, and then we come home, and we're beating ourselves up. That is the devil coming at you with his shame and blame game. Be confident. Now, I know there's times we really do miss it. But I think if you really do miss it, he'd probably tell you at the moment when you did it, you knew right then, you could just make it right, whatever you need to do. But this later, maybe sometimes a day later. I can tell you that because I've had that happen to me. All right. What is faith? I think faith, for the most part, is confidence. It's a tool. This is how we get around. This is how we change things. God has given us the measure of faith to act in His image and in His likeness. Think about that. It's natural. It's natural. It's not natural to be negative. That's been programmed into us. It is not natural to be negative. It's natural to walk by faith. But on the other side of it, even the people that are in the negative are operating by faith. They're still getting exactly what they're saying. Okay. Hebrews 10. All right, Hebrews 10:35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense and reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. What is, when you get out of confidence, what does it cause you to do? Usually you start talking negatively. Yeah, thinking negatively. Don't look backwards, look forward. Paul talked, I look towards the mark of the high prize, calling the prize or whatever. He always looked forward. If someone questions you, you can boldly and confidently say. See, God leads us to boldly and confidently say. And if they question, say, why did you say that? My father told me to. Why didn't you do that? Father didn't tell me to. Just shut their mouths. I mean, isn't it? It's pretty simple. Okay. This is what we're about, advancing the kingdom of God. But God wants us to be confident. He's for us. He's not against us. He's not holding anything against us. He doesn't hold the sins against us. They're gone. He wants us to have confidence and move forward and take our land back. Okay. All right. The world and its ways are natural. God's kingdom is supernatural. He will show us what to do if we ask Him. If we ask Him. All right, I'm going to read a few more scriptures here. I know this is long today, but this is John 14:14. If you just want to sit and listen, that's fine. John 14:14. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I said, Lord, anything? That's what He said. He's itching to help you with everything. In fact, I believe it saddens Him when you don't include Him in on your affairs. He's waiting to lead you. The shepherd's sitting there going, well, they're going off over there. The father probably shakes his head and says, oh, I could have helped them out with that. Oh, that they would have allowed me to help them. Do you think he delights to see you get into trouble? No. Will he get you out? Yes. But he really wants to keep you out. Okay, John 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. And he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable Jesus spake unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. And then Jesus said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, is if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Isn't that provision? Provision. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. It's all about what voice you hear. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He's ready to lay down his life to protect you. He that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catches them and he scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so now I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So this is how he watches over us. Every day. Every moment of every day. Okay, he's with us. Even Jesus followed Father's way. Jesus didn't just do stuff. He followed Father. Okay, we're going to look at that. John 5. People say, it's just so hard to follow God. Really, is it? It's just you're so used to following the other way. You just have to switch and find out how you do it his way. That's kind of like when you get a new job. You got to find out the way they do things, and then you have to get in line with it. Okay, John 5:19. Then Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Then verse 30, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Okay, get over here to Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Jeremiah 17:17. I hope this is enough scripture to renew y'all's minds today. We have to do a continual renewal of that. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he should be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. I was thinking about last night when I was listening to Sheila Holm, and how the world is afraid right now, and people are just running helter-skelter, not knowing what to do. But I said, Lord, if I based just what you have told me this year, last year, and this year alone, I have peace. Peace. Yeah. All right, Psalms 27:23. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. It's because David knew about Father, Father's care, Father's provision. He said, God likes me. Proverbs 3:25-26. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. The Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. He's in us. He's leading. He's showing us so we don't make a mistake. We don't have to be afraid of making a mistake. We just need to learn to wait instead of thinking we got to have an answer right now. It's kind of like with what's going on in the world. We're, you know, so many people, I want to see it right now. I want it right now. I want it right now. Well, yeah, who wouldn't like to see it right now? But this is a military operation. It'll be done when it's done. We got to trust God in this. All right, Isaiah 32, 17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceful habitation, in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. If we're leaning on the Lord, and we're looking to Him, and we're hearing Him, then that what's going on outside won't affect us. Okay, that was 32. Okay, 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. All right, Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in him. Access. Well, that's whatever we need, whenever we need it. Hebrews 4:16. It's one of my favorite scriptures here. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Okay, Hebrews 13:6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Even when we are walking through the fire, trust the Savior. When Jesus in his darkest hour in Luke chapter 4, Father was with him, but he went through the fire. Three Hebrew children went through the fire. Hebrews 4 talks about, if you want to read that chapter this week, about entering the rest of God. Okay, time to forgive yourself and forget it. That is what Father has chosen to do. He has no memory that you have done anything wrong. And I'm going to read a couple of more. We'll be done with this teaching. This is Colossians 2:13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. That's why when I hear these people, well-meaning Christians, that say, oh, Christmas is of the devil, and Santa is Satan, and all this stuff, I'm thinking, you know what, we've been through that many years ago, and you ain't taking Christmas away from me. Now, if the Lord says, don't do that, I won't do that, but you ain't taking it. I don't care what you say, because most of them are old covenant anyway. The veil's still on the face. So you just think, don't let a man judge you. If Father says it's okay, then who cares what they say? Okay, one more, Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, verse 1, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall also appear with him in glory. Okay. God's ways are above. Satan's ways are below. So, we need to keep our looking up above. Look above. Look forward. Don't look back. Okay.